dear precious Lord Jesus. As the song says, Lord, we are here today, and all what we want is to be more like you, O God. You said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. And you say, whatsoever you ask, believe in your heart that you receive it, and you will receive it. And Father, you told us to be perfect. And Father, this morning, all what we are asking is to be more like you. Help us, Lord. Help us to die for ourselves, Lord. Help us, Father, Lord, to die to the law of the flesh, but live by the law of the Spirit. Oh God, we love you, and this morning we come before you to give you thanks. Thanks from our heart, Father. We don't deserve to be here today, but God, it pleased you to choose us, to open our eyes, to take us from darkness and bring us to light. And Father, in the light, then help us to live in the light. Let us be children of the light, O Father, and let us reflect that light of yours to others still in darkness. We thank you, Father. Help me, Father, this morning, Father, to bring these few thoughts with my, and share with my brethren, Father. Open our hearts, bless the service, and Lord, we commit all to your hands. Thank you for giving the opportunity to come to your presence. We appreciate it, Lord. Thank you. We commit all to your hands in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to continue with our subject, a walk through the Bible. And we started last, I think in September, we were talking about the statue of a perfect man. So we are going to continue on that. And I'm going to start virtue, but last time we talked about faith. So let us read the scripture, 2 Peter, Second Peter 1:5. Let's start from 1. Right? 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So this is being addressed to specific people, all right? So he was not just writing this to the world, but he was writing this to specific people who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I have to repeat that again. That by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. You see, beside this, giving all diligence. He just say to believe that, to just accept it, this as a promise, and you just take it and sit and do nothing with it. But he said, besides this, give it all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was
purge from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, again, he's repeating that again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to our reading. You may be seated. So as I said, today, we are going to continue where we left up last time on September 29. We saw that faith is a foundation of every true Christian believer. We also spoke about rapture and faith last time quite a bit. So to recap from last time and build like a bridge into the new, into this month, I'm going to read this quote. Brother Bram said here, and Father, so many things could be said here, maybe the church wouldn't understand. But I pray that you give them such a crave for it. You know when he says crave for something? Crave. It's not just something that, you know, you read and you say, you know, oh yeah, I heard it. Oh yeah, I've heard it today, you know, and go home. But you crave for it. You know? Lord, that they'll come and see we are at the end time, the astronaut age. I pray, Father, that they'll realize it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more rapturing grace. And as I told you, that's what this message is for. This message was come to gather people for rapturing faith. Amen. For the hour will come when, we'll have to have rapture power. So you see, like I said, just saying we are in this message, we are doing all that, is all fine. But what's the purpose? What's the goal? There have to come a time for the bride to have that rapture and faith, that rapture and power. Else, everything we do is in vain. And that's what you have to strive for. And that's why I see Peter, he can keep diligence. You see, sometimes when we preach the gospel, yes, you know, there are different, let's say that we preach the evangelist, missionary, a different one we preach. But sometimes, you know, just like, you know, little children, we always want to take further what we call the road of least resistance. Right? So let's say if you have two parents, right? And maybe one will say something and the mother or father, so one will say one and the father say, the child will pick the one that is feel is the least resistance. It's about dad or my mom said this, right? But the child will not look at overall what is the two parents are trying to say, okay? So sometimes that what happen when messages are being preached, different ministers coming to preach, sometimes the mind wants to show the least resistance. Oh, when you hear, you know what? God chose we can never lose you. Oh yeah, I'll take it easy. God's already chosen me. He won't lose me. What's the use? I don't have to pull up. I don't have to pray. But who were here Wednesday in church? Could you tell me what Jesus did more than anything else? He prayed. He even prayed more than he healed people. Why? This is God Elohim. So, but Peter is saying here that we have to give all diligence. Yes. All right? And I'll reach there, okay? Rapture and power, not only to heal the body, but to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Christ will be so real into their bodies till he can change it by his great death and what he purchased. May they take this today, that token that I spoke of last night, hold it before them and walk into this astronaut. Granted, Father, where visions, powers, and worlds beyond known, and oh God, where all the great mysteries of God is unfolded in those seven seals and made known to men. Grant it, Father. Amen. Now, I'll read one more, as I said, to cap the on faith. But answer here, notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see, on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you are a skeptic of the Bible, when you are skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well just stay back until first you believe it. Amen? So the message on the statue of a perfect man is an important and crucial message for the believer. I believe that every believer, every Christian, must know this message in and out. You must know this message in and out. I've been studying, I don't know how many times I listen to it, but each time I listen to it, it looks like something new I'm listening to. This message, as we read, to be partaker of God's divine nature, right? So we will spend quite some time on it. I told myself, you know, some time ago, that I'm praying, it's not what I just found something new to say. I said, there's nothing new. Everything is here. But what we need, God has laid all the food, right? But is we have to eat the food that God gave us. You know, as human being, and I do that a lot too, sometimes you buy something and somebody comes with a new thing. Oh, I want to try this one. And you have plenty of that in the storage in the pantry. And after a while, you go look at it, the date has expired, right? It's expired. You go buy a new one. You gotta learn. I do that too a lot. But what God has given us, God has given us this food in storage. And this food does not expire. Okay? It does not expire. It's eternal. So we have to spend time on this food and dissect it. Even if you have to spend, I don't care how long, understanding this message of the statue of the perfect man, please do it. Why the statue of a perfect man? Why? Now, let me read this for you. Brother Bram said here, and this morning, we want to speak on the subject, or teach rather, if we can, building the living tabernacle. Building the living tabernacle of the living God dwelling place, the perfect man, the living tabernacle of the living God where he dwells. So you look at yourself, and usually we all have to look at us as miserable people. Yes, we are. But we are co-heirs with the king. Amen. Not a king, we are co-heirs with the king. Yes. All right? That makes us somebody, not because of what we've done, not because of our personal achievement, but because of what he did. Amen. And he said that is, I give it to you for free. That makes us somebody. And now, he said, if I'm here, I can only be at one place. I can be only in Galilee. I can be in Nazareth. I can be with Jerusalem, whatever I can be. All right? But if I go and I come and dwell in you, then you, me, through you, can be in many places. Throughout the whole world. It's Christ, Christ, Christ everywhere. God dwelling in us. So God wants to build that dwelling place. It's not just coming to church. It's not just coming here by fear because I'm coming because I think I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No, there is a job to do.
Right. Amen.
Amen? Now, today, I mean, the day before Brother Branham preached the statue of perfect man, he preached the influence of another. But he announced this mercy was coming. And listen to what he says there. But if you have no Sunday school and you like to be with us, I want to speak in this morning, in the morning, and put it on the blackboard and teach on the full statue of a perfect man and draw it out it on the blackboard and show God's requirement and how we come to the perfect statue of a perfect man before God. All right? So, if he said he wants to draw something on how, so that means it's really very important, isn't it? Very important. Now, I'll skip and say something. You know, soldiers, people have been in the military, and I know many people here have been in the military. But when I did my national training, we didn't know really what it was going to the military. So, you know, we have to be shuttled there by train. So we went to the train, we all took the train, you know, many people bring a lot of stuff, many people bring a lot of luggages and all that. So when we're going from one town to the other town where the camp was. And so as soon as we got there, you know, we thought maybe when we get there, there are going to be buses that will come and say, okay, here, you know, get the bus, and then they'll bus you, and they'll, okay, here's your room, set your luggages, and you know, maybe go get refreshment, and then come, and again, to the no. When we went there, the train opens, this sergeant or corporal or whatever, they line up. Come on, get out, down, call them, shoot down. And people have like luggages, you can imagine. All right, people have all this luggage. Come on, come, move, keep moving. That's a welcome. All right, I'm sure people, I don't know, the same here at that boot camp. And then, we thought, there's no bus. You're going to be running to the camp, from the train station to the camp. Move, come on, keep moving. You don't have time for nothing. And then when we get there to the camp, there's nothing but refreshment. Come, move here. There's nothing like this. Your room fell. Just dump it there. Move. Begin to move. And they make us do things impossible that you won't even think of. All right? And you think, man, are these people our enemy? Did they bring here to kill us? Some people at the night run away, jump the fence and run away. Okay? One time we did something and, this is after our high school, going before we go to the university. You know, okay? Then people begin to think, why are these people doing? Begin, and the soldier will know we're murmuring and things like that. They say, okay, fine. Come on, everybody, get to your room. We get in. All right, brother, take your bed. Move with your bed. Come on, jump in. They make you do all things. And after a while, we start becoming friends. But they begin to tell us, some people are very shy. They have to bring you up. The people think that there's somebody. They're all here on a high horse to bring them down. They level the plane. All right? And they teach you discipline. First of all, when we went there, they call me a prostitute. I said, what in this? What are you calling a prostitute for? Because I said, civilians, we don't have discipline. And that's why, you know, and these captains and the lieutenants and many of them were paratroopers, jumpers, and they'll come. And those are very revered and over there. They'll come, they'll walk into prostitute. You can have no discipline. Have no principle. You just do things the way you want to. Get up, pop. But you did today, as a Christian, I reflect a lot on those things that the people say. All right? They will teach us so much discipline, rigor. Get them their money, do that. Before you do anything else. Stand up, pray, you got to do it. If they say walk this way, walk that way. If they say make left, you make left. If they say make right, you make right. You don't even question why you make right. So, but we say we are Christian soldiers, right? We are Christian soldiers. All right? And if we are Christian soldiers, so I was looking, I said, what did the Bible say about being a Christian soldier? Let me read something for you here, what Paul said about being a Christian soldier. Now, a Christian soldier, let's start from Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:12. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violence take it how? By force. That's Matthew 11:12. And when you go to that camp, that's the thing they teach you. All right? What you're going to take? You're not going to go there and say, oh, you take it by force. All right? Now, here, listen to hear what Paul saying to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. That's what the thing one thing that thing. They say, don't come here and don't come here and say, oh, that's the reason they won't put in the buses from the train to the camp. You got to endure. If you come with a lot of stuff, a lot of luggage, that's your problem. She has Christian, when we come to Christ, then we carry a lot of luggage. Then when, you see, so I begin to make the comparison with all those, and those people are just talking the world. But Paul, you can see, using a lot of those things to tell us. Maybe we'll come with a lot of luggage. When I say pray, oh man, but I have all this, I have to do this, I'm so busy, and I have this, I have to, you can. When I say run, you can run. You have all these things, and therefore you want to take. Say, come on, keep moving. Didn't Christ say, get rid of everything? Yes. Everything, get rid of everything, and come follow me, and take your cross and follow me? Amen. So you cannot be that soldier coming, having all those luggages weighing you down. You can't. Amen? Amen. Look what Paul says here. Thou, therefore, endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You see? So when I read that, to me, it made perfect sense. I said, that's what those guys were trying to make me see. And yet they are not very Christians, all right? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who have chosen him to be what? A soldier. All right? Now, let's go now to Ephesians 6. Let's go now to Ephesians 6, 10. I change. I look at the Lord change. That's not the way. I have this at the end of the service, but now I look at the Lord change it. Okay. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You see? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, Paul, you're going to war. And the soldiers, that's what they prepare them that way. war. When I say the mission is here tomorrow, he does not question, why should I go to the mission there? Or when they come, this order, the mission is there tomorrow. You are leaving at such and such time, at such time we're going to meet, and this was going to be, who's going to be the peloton or whatever, and this, that. And Paul, if you read Paul, and when we say we are Christian soldiers, you see, we say we are Christian soldiers, but we live by the law of the flesh. And that's why I understand, and when Paul referred, that was like when I understand, don't need to call a prostitute, that means, you know, you want to flirt with the world. We flirt with the world. But it doesn't, we hate those soldiers. But now, when I look back, I thank God for going through that kind of training. We flirt with the thing of the world. We want to live by the law of the flesh while we are supposed to live by the law of the spirit. And the law of the spirit is governed by a prayer life. That discipline that I want to be with God. That discipline principle that, you know what? He is my life. I need to have audience with the King every day.
Amen.
You see? Without that, oh, I'm a Christian, we get on the money. Oh, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to take my phone. I'll do this. I got to go to work. And while the King is inviting you to have audience, and you refuse to have that audience. Amen? Now, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking a shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And doing what? Praying always. How? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, when you're enlisted, when you say I'm a Christian, you're enlisted. You see, the first day, you know, when somebody preached, you come, that's the day you're enlisted. You get off of the train of the world. Get off that train. Then you come here, the angel say, get out of your thing, keep moving. Now you are enlisted as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. But you see, but when we Christians, when the light of God strikes us and we are enlisted, we are so happy because it took us from darkness into light. But now that we are in the light, instead of living by the law of the Spirit, governed by a disciplined life of prayer, we live our daily life by the law of the flesh. All right? So that's why God wants us to partake of his divine nature. And so when I look at the life of Christ, as I began some time ago to look, Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see the Father do it. The Father who sent me dwells in me. That means Christ continuously is in communion, fellowship with the Father that sent him. Amen?
Amen?
And that's why you see him always praying. Jesus was going to teach 12 disciples. He can tell Nathanael, I saw you before Philip called you. Did I get a name right this time? Before Philip called you, I saw you. But here Jesus had to pray to see him pray all night. And this is Emmanuel, God made him. Dwelling among us, Immanuel, God, come down from his glory, ever living story. My God and Savior came down, and you hear his God on his knee praying before he went and chose 12 out of how many? Now, all that God was, he's emptied it into Christ. And how was Christ? Christ was perfect. And all that Christ was, what did he do? He emptied the church. What's the church supposed to be? Answer me. What's the church supposed to be? You're not supposed to be able to talk about it. You're not just like quoting all what God was putting Christ or what Christ was putting to the church. That's not it. The church has to be perfect. Amen? Amen. That's why in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect as even your Father in heaven." Because when God put himself to Christ, Christ was perfect. And when Christ came into the church, if Christ lives in the dwelling place of, to partake of the divine nature, that makes the church perfect. Amen. Amen? Now, Brother Bram said here, know how that God is in his church. The church is now supposed to be taking the place of Christ, are we? Like I said, we shouldn't take the way of least resistance. God didn't send this message to just make us happy to think that, you know what? Yeah, God chose you. You are elected. God foresaw you before the foundation of the world. Go, sit, you're okay, you're going in the rapture. Why would Jesus be praying before he chose disciple? When Jesus went to be baptized, this is God. And he told John the Baptist, just need a ceremony because the sacrifice may be washed. He could just walk there. But what did the Bible say? I read it last Wednesday. What did he say? Jesus walked in a prayer. What was he doing? He was praying. Praying, and the heavens opened. You see, that's why Peter said, all diligence. But Christian, like I said, we take it in the way of least resistance. We hear things that make us happy. Yes, they're good. We are saved. Yes, there's nothing about that. We are going. But a soldier doesn't get trained and come sit down and say, yeah, I'm trained. Yeah, I'm a soldier. No. Fight. You see what Paul said? Put on a full armor. We fight not against flesh and blood. Take the full armor. When you have done everything to stand, stand there for. That's what a Christian. Burly. Not but you see, one thing that God hates is for his children to always be complaining, murmuring. You see, that in the desert, one thing that I think really, really upset God is when people are murmuring while he's with us. Amen? Reverend said, no. Know how that God is in his church. The church is now supposed to be taking the place of Christ, carrying on his ministry. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet you shall see me, for I will be with you even where in you, to the end of the world. So that brings us back to the statue of a perfect man. All right? Now, before I go any further, I would like to dig in a little bit deeper now lead into next time, okay? Now, Brother Brown said, bless us, Father, as we study that word. We want to know what kind of people we must be in order to be there. So don't just say, just because I repent, I get baptized, I get this. No. That's just the beginning. just the boot camp. Now start the training, the discipline. Start the training. Amen? Help us today in this school that we might have the great master teacher with us, the Holy Spirit, that will come down and reveal himself to us by his word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Now, so, as I said, the church is supposed to be taking the place of Christ. You see, we have to understand and know what we are doing and who we are. And that's what Brother Bram said, the church, one of the things that the church, they really knew who she was. Brother Bram said one day she will understand. But when we understand, and Brother Bram said the rapture, I read it before, the rapture faith, the rapture power, is when Christ becomes so real to you that gives you that faith. That's where the rapture takes place. Then you know who you are. Amen? So as I said, Jesus commanded us to be perfect in Matthew 5:48. Now, the Lord will not ask us to do something unless he makes a way for us to do it. Amen. Then as the Bible will be, God will not say, be ye therefore perfect. It's a command. Yes. He cannot tell us to be perfect unless he made a way for us to do it. Is that right? Amen. Okay. Now, God's word cannot fail. Amen. Amen? Now, in the beginning, God spoke perfection in Genesis. All right? And the evil act of the serpent cannot change that plan. Amen? All that, like I said, God was important to Christ. Oh, that Christ was important to the church. All right? So put perfection. Right? Gospel perfection. And because of we fail in the Garden of Eden, that still didn't lose the perfection aspect that God wanted for his children.
Amen.
I don't care what happened. I don't care what did. God's plan that he spoke for the beginning of perfection, that plan is eternal. And that's when Jesus came, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen?
Amen?
Now, one thing that God never wants his children to be unfruitful or barren. All right? And I know time is coming, but next Sunday, by God's grace, God permits me to be here, I'll dig a little bit deeper in it. But let's start. I'm going to make a little diversion from the statue of perfect men, and let's take a trip. Like I say, this is a walk through the Bible. Let's take a trip back into the Bible to the beginning, Genesis. Let's take Genesis 1:28. Now remember, Genesis 1:28, remember here is not Adam in the flesh, but it's that spirit man. All right? Now, before I read it, let me read this quote for you. Brother Brown saying, who is God? Then he said, let us make man in our image, in our old image, after our likeness. Is that right? All right. So he made a man. God was spirit. He had to be a spirit man made in his image. He put him here on the earth. He put me on the earth to lead the animal life and so forth, like the Holy Spirit should be leading the church today. That was man. Very important statement. Now, let's now read Genesis 1. Let me start from 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That promise, when God said it, is done.
Amen.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fall of the air, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. That's God's eternal word. He spoke it. He will not take it back. God had to make a way for us to get there.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's take Genesis 9:1. Genesis 9:1. Genesis 9:1. All right? And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them what? You see? God promised? Yes, I'll wipe out the whole earth. I'll wipe it. No, I'm starting with you and your family. But that's the promise. I'll take it over the flood. We bring it here now. What? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. However, Satan, that spirit, went over the flood. One thing is to go in direct opposition, direct disobedience to what God said. So when the people begin to go, they went directly against that very statement, blessing God multiply. Take Genesis 11. Genesis 11. 4-5. Genesis 11, 4-5. And they say, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest what? We be scattered abroad. But what did God ask them? Replenish, multiply, replenish the earth. But here you see, direct opposition. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. This is a direct, total obedience to what God commanded in Genesis 9:1. All right? Now, I would like you, okay, time is over. But where we're going to start from, continue from this idea, is Matthew 25, starting from verse 14, okay? Matthew 25, you start from verse 14. Because what I'm going to be what we're going to talk about next Sunday, God willing, we're going to set the question is, what is a fruitful life? What is a fruitful life? So read, so we jump, we're going from Genesis, and now we are coming to Matthew. So read Matthew 25:14, and then also please read John 15:1-6. That way, all right? So Matthew 25, starting from 14, and then John 15:1-6. All right, we're going to stop here. For today, let us pray. Are you enjoying it?
Amen.
All right. I may take you a little bit into the deep end, but by God's grace, don't worry, it's be simple. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity you've given us to be here. Lord, we know your word is eternal, and the promise you made us will never fail. Lord, your promises are true. Regardless of what the devil will do, regardless of what Satan will do, your promise still holds. But Father, teach us how we go to the storehouse of those promises. Oh Lord, we don't just want to be talking about promises, but Father, teach us the way. Give us the key to enter the storeroom. Father, give us the key to open the storeroom, oh God. Give us faith to believe that your word is true. Give us faith to know that you're an eternal God and whatever you spoke would never fail. And you commanded us in Matthew 5, 48, be ye therefore perfect. So, Father, our goal this morning is perfection. Lord, we may not look anything like it. We may look like miserable people. We may look like people who are nothing. Yes, Lord, we are nothing. But Father, you say we are going to partake of your divine nature. That makes us somebody. And Father, we are relying on what we can do. We are sinners. We are born a sheep in iniquity. Father, came to work, saying lies. But Father, we are relying on you. We are leaning on you. You are our Lord. You are our Master. You are our everything. You are our Creator. And Father, you say, I'll be in you. So Father, we believe that your word does not lie. And Father, this end time, Lord, Father, show us how, Lord, Father, we can get there. Build that tabernacle, that living tabernacle that you come and live in. Father, we offer ourselves unto you on your altar this morning. Father, let us die with our sacrifice. Oh God, we pray, may you accept our sacrifice on your altar today. Lord, is our prayer. Bless us and help us. And Father, bless the oncoming service. Bless the minister. Bless everything. For Father, we give you the glory. For unto you belong all the glory, Father. We love you and we pray that you help us. Help us to live a life that reflects your life, oh God. We thank you, Father. We commit all to your hands. We commit this day into your hands. We commit our lives, everything to your hands. In Jesus Christ we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray for his glory. Amen. You may be dismissed.